This is the April 12th, 2022 meeting of the Pacifica National Finance Committee. I believe we have a quorum. I'm going to ask the chair to take the roll.
The secretary will take the
roll.
The
secretary, sorry. Thank you, Arpo.
Okay, please answer up when you hear your name. Nick Arena. Chris Corey.
I'm here. This is May 10th, by the way, not April 12th.
Thank you.
Elizabeth Von Gunten.
Here.
Julie Hewitt. Jim
Kaufman. Julie won't be here tonight. Sorry.
Jim Kaufman.
Here.
Julia Kennard.
Here.
Arpo Martin here. James McFadden.
Here.
Sean Kelly McPherson.
Howdy. I'm here.
James Sagerton.
Here.
Susan Young.
Here.
Okay, that's nine.
Thank you very much, Arpo. Okay, now I'm reading from the correct copy. Now we go to adopting the agenda. I'll read the agenda. Number one is convene the meeting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Number two, roll call. Number three, adopt agenda. Number four, chair's announcements, 2 minutes. Number five, minutes for 3 minutes. Number six, report from executive director, if available, 10 minutes. Seven, review the fiscal year 22 Pacifica Radio Archives draft budget, 45 minutes. Number eight, review the February 2022 financials. That should read March, my apology. Number nine, non-disclosure agreements, 15 minutes. 10, budget timelines and schedule for NFC review of budgets for fiscal year 22, 5 minutes. Number 11, unfinished business, motion to update Pacifica transaction limits. Number 12, adjourn no later than 10:15 p.m. Eastern Time. Did you get that correction for number eight, Arpo?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, are there any additions, subtractions, discussion on the agenda? Hearing none, we'll consider it adopted. Now we go to the chair's announcements. Very briefly, tonight we will review the fiscal year 22 Pacifica Radio Archives draft budget. We will also review the March 2022 financials, and there are no other new announcements. That takes care of number four. Now we go to the minutes. Number five, Arpo.
Okay, give me 1 second here. Get into that. Okay, I move that we approve the minutes of the April 12th, 2022 NFC meeting.
Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll consider that approved. And now we go to number six. This is a report from the executive director, if available. Stephanie?
Yes, hi, I'm here.
Hi, Steph.
Hi. As far as the finances and such, obviously that's the first one of the priorities on my mind pretty much every day. What I've been really focusing on in working fairly closely with some of the members of the strategic planning committee is just taking a look at our long-term and our short-term strategic plan. We have to, of course, always look at the long-term because we want to plan for our future and how we're going to get there. And some of those long-term strategies that we really want to take a close look at is increasing our social media presence, sort of creating our brand. We obviously have a Pacifica Foundation brand, but really sort of creating more buzz around that rather than always focusing, you know, obviously respecting the individual stations, but also really emphasizing that we are this sister network of stations and that we're part of this great, big, wonderful organization called Pacifica. Also looking at things like centralizing the the management of the website, centralizing possibly newsletters, and of course, always looking at the possibility of monetizing our archives. While it's great and fun and exciting to kind of look at those long-term plans, we do have the reality of looking at short-term plans that does involve that will ultimately involve the finance committee, I'm sure, because we do have a continuing issue with cash and cash flow. And some of those short-term strategies that I know not everybody likes to hear, but again, just because it's something that is coming out of my mouth doesn't necessarily mean that that is something that we're going to do, but it is something that we need to take a look at. So we do have some people on the strategic planning committee that will be working with me as we dig into these options deeper. And again, true believers that you don't know really what you don't want until you kind of know a little bit more about it. So some of those short-term cash influx things that we are looking at and to better understand is the declaring bankruptcy and reorganization through a Chapter 11, signal swapping. Some of our signals, particularly KPFK, is of great value within the Los Angeles community, and there are some other community radio stations that would be interested in swapping that out. Going into receivership, turning some of the stations into, nobody wants to hear this, repeater stations, and then looking at some of the assets that we have, such as buildings that we could sell. So again, just because these are on a list of short-term plans doesn't mean that that is something that is actually planned and we are going to do. But in order to make a qualified decision and a well-thought-out decision of what we need to do in order to help our cash issues, we do need to take a look at all of those options. So we, taking into consideration the time, the cost, the value, the negatives, the pros, the cons, everything that's associated with that. So we do have information pretty much on all of those, on all of these right now. It's just a matter of, again, fine-tuning it and getting some more information. And then as we get a better idea as to the pros, the cons of all of these and the realities of what some of these things would entail, then we will definitely, present that to the Strategic Planning Committee, also present that to the Finance Committee, and take a close, hard look at what these options are, have good, open, honest discussions as to what it means, look at them realistically, and then start making some decisions. Because we do obviously have some issues with our revenue, and we just don't want to get caught in a position where it's too late and we're not making payroll, we're not paying even more of our bills. I'm sure we'll discuss this again at a later time in this meeting. But, for example, late yesterday afternoon, and it sort of continued on this morning, the IRS levied some of our accounts upwards of $93,000 for some unpaid taxes, and they were able to hit roughly about four of the accounts. So we've been working with the IRS all day and trying to figure out, was it overkill with the amount of money that they took? Some of it possibly was. So we're trying to work with them to try to get some of that money back. But it was kind of a quick reality check that a lot of us have been looking at for a while of, when some of the station's accounts were drained, what does that mean with payroll? What does that mean with bills that were paid? What does that mean with outstanding checks that may be returned now and bounced? Fortunately, due to the quick help of Markeisha at KPFT and of Julia, of course, and that entire staff, we've been talking with the IRS, been able to recover some of the money or return some of the money as a loan sort of to some of these stations. But we can talk about this at a later time in this meeting. But what it really does is that there is just a mere snap away from some issues with finances. So we need to take a realistic and educated look at some of these short-term issues with the strategic plan and finances that would allow us to be able to get an influx of cash using the assets that we have, so we can set up, you know, an endowment account, you know, something that we could be able to set money aside so we could work, you know, to keep the principal intact and then maybe just work off of some of the interest from a nice endowment account to help cover us and get us back on our feet, while at the same time, you know, of course, looking at those long-term plans on what we're going to do as we continue to grow and move forward.
May I just make one comment about what you said? This is Julia.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to make sure that people understood it was not unpaid taxes. It's a penalty for a return that was evidently not filed. And I know that's probably semantics to most people, but it was not that there were unpaid taxes. There was a remittance that was sent to the IRS in 2016 that's related to part of this, but the end of year return was never submitted.
Mr. Chair, this is Susan. I'd like to ask a quick question. Based on what Stephanie was saying, I assume that we might talk after the PRA budget about the question of timing and urgency on these matters, because you know, whoever failed to do the right stuff for the IRS, shame on them. We just are paying now, and it makes our hole deeper and faster. So I would like us to be addressing the urgency and how we move forward on cash strategies starting now.
I'm muted. Susan, I would like to ask you, we're 2 minutes from time on this item, and Stephanie, I'm not sure where else in the agenda we're going to have time to discuss this. So since this came up, you know, rather suddenly, I wonder if we could get a motion now to extend the time for this item and discuss it now. I'm not sure where else it would come in the agenda.
So moved. Beth.
This is Kim.
Hold on. Let's hear Kim. I heard Kim first. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kim.
Two things. Can you back off your microphone a bit?
I can.
And
sorry.
Thank you. It's, you know, and whatever motion you want to extend, I will support that. I'm not sure what time you're asking for, but I'm okay with that.
Well, I also did not put time on this agenda for a report from Julia. So perhaps I don't know if Julia has anything to add, but why don't we say let's add 15 minutes now. Does that sound suitable to you, Julia?
No,
and also Stephanie?
Can I ask a question, please? Request
let me, let me, let me just, let me, yeah, okay, go ahead.
Well, this is Jermaine. Is Mark Torres on the call yet?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Good. Thank you, Mark.
So that, you know, that sort of defines whether we want to extend now or later. That's why
good
I
point.
Asked.
I appreciate that, Kim. I thank you for bringing that up. Mark, I did tell you that as a guest, we would take you first so that you could go on to other things. We have a little conundrum here where we have an issue.
Mr. Chair, I move that we schedule the additional time with Stephanie and Julia after we've dealt with Mr. Torres and the PRA budget.
Okay, I think we already have a motion on the floor, do we not? To extend time?
What we have is, I don't know who is making a motion to extend the time for the item by 15 minutes.
It never really got made. It was
excuse
done
me,
by
Susan,
some people.
Susan. Sorry, yeah, just wait to be recognized so we don't get chaotic. I just want to respond to that. I think Kim was on the verge of making a motion, but I don't think she did. But then Beth was offering a motion, and I stopped her so that because I heard Kim first, and then Susan, you jumped in to offer a motion. I did recognize you. That was a mistake. I should have gone to Beth, this is all, you know, how many angels fit on the head of a pin kind of talk. But I was in the middle of asking Stephanie and Julia how they would like to handle this. And then I'd like to hear from Mark on how he can handle it. And then we'll go to the motion about time, if that's okay with everybody.
So the motion is to extend the time for this item by 15 minutes, and Beth made the motion.
I don't think that, Beth, did you actually make the motion?
What I said was so moved, Beth.
Oh, I see. So you did. So you did.
I'll accept 15 minutes is fine with me. I didn't stipulate a time, but 15
okay.
minutes
is fine. So now I'm going to ask if, before we go to discussion of that, if we can, well, let's, as part of discussing that, let's ask Stephanie and Julia what they'd like to do. Yes, sir, Paul?
You do know that a motion to extend is not debatable, right?
Yes, I guess I do know that. Can I get unanimous consent to withdraw this motion? And we'll take it, we'll do it again so we can clear the table.
Does anyone object to that?
That's what I'm asking. Okay, is there any objection to withdrawing this motion? Hearing none, it's withdrawn. Now, I'm going to ask Stephanie and Julia what they want to do, and then I'll ask Mark what he wants to do. Stephanie?
Yeah, I'm happy if, Julia and I work well, not to put, you can speak on behalf of Julia, but, you know, we can sort of share the time that we need to discuss this kind of moving forward, because we talk about this on a regular basis. So I'm happy to just sort of share the time and ping pong off of her with, you know, back and forth with questions.
I thought that would be appropriate. Julia, are you okay with that?
Absolutely.
And now let me ask Mark.
Go ahead.
Let me ask Mark if he wants to go ahead, or does he want to hear part of that conversation perhaps?
Yes, I think the conversation needs to happen now. It affects all our units, including the Pacifica Radio Archive, so let's extend 15 minutes.
Very good, Mark. Thank you for that. We appreciate it. Okay, so who wants to make the motion to extend 15 minutes?
So moved, Beth.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? Well, it's not debatable. So is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll go for 15 minutes and see where we are. Stephanie, do you want to start by continuing, or do you want to give Julia a chance? Julia.
I would continue only to the extent if people have questions. So by all means, Julia can chime in.
I might be able to preemptively answer some of those questions.
Right.
So today I met with Cynthia, who is our HR person, Anita, and Tamara. And I'm not sure who is new, but Tamara and Anita are heavily involved from the financial perspective, and Cynthia is, again, the director of HR that works with Pacifica. And so we had a quick call today and divvied up responsibilities in trying to figure out what is going on with the IRS situation. The issue with working with the IRS is they don't really tell you what you did wrong. It's kind of a guessing game, and if you guess right, maybe they will tell you that that's what it is. What we do know is that for the fiscal year, or for the tax year 2016, there was a remittance to the IRS. So something was paid to the IRS that was a backup withholding of some sort. We do not know if it was from a 1099 relationship, or if it was from something to do with the pension plan, retirement plan. Cynthia is going to reach out to the pension administrator from that time period, which was, I believe, Voya, and see if they have any information. I have scoured email accounts and Pacifica server files that I could find trying to find information for this particular portion of the problem, and I could not find anything. So again, it appears that a withholding was made by Pacifica and submitted to the IRS, but then at the end of the year, a tax form that should have been submitted was not submitted. And again, this is back for the year 2016. While Cynthia is contacting Voya to see if it is related to the retirement plan, I am going to reach out to the units, or at least see what I can find. It might be easier for some of the units to be able to see. I'm going to be looking to see did we pay the IRS anything in 2016? In a quick search today, in between all the other kind of chaos that was going on today, I for example, found that there was one check that was issued out of the I think it was the national office. I can't remember if it's the national. I believe it was the national office for a little over $2,000. We know that around $9,000 was remitted, but we can't substantiate what that was for because we don't know what it's for. Tamara and worked with the representative from the IRS and Stephanie, and they submitted the tax form that should have been submitted with that dollar amount on it, just to get, like, it was sort of a check the box thing that the IRS required. That was submitted, but again, we don't know. We couldn't substantiate what that $9,000 is. That's what we're trying to find now. Cynthia reaching out to Voya and me coming to see what type of payments might have gone out from Pacifica to the IRS. If we see that checks were cut directly out of Pacifica accounts to them, then that leads us to believe that it is related to some backup withholding that was related to 1099s. That's a little unusual. Like, even in all the years that I've worked, I've never had to do backup withholdings for someone's 1099. Now, maybe in large organizations it is, but for my experience, that's not super common. But I do know that if I can find transactions that were showing payments to the IRS that year, that, you know, that might be it. I haven't had a chance to talk to Stephanie about this, but she and I discussed today that we need to reach out to the IRS. The problem is getting in touch with them. But what we want to do is confirm that they accepted that return that they submitted and get a better feel for what does this mean about getting the funds back, if any, and a time frame for that, if any.
This is Kim. I have a question.
Sure.
Would it help to reach out to the auditor? Because the auditor's files are, they did the tax forms, and they would file our tax forms. I'm forgetting who the auditor was that year.
Well, here's the thing. You would think that they file all of your tax forms, but they don't file all of them. A lot of people might be familiar with a form 5500 that is related to retirement plans. The auditor doesn't submit that. The staff at an organization submit that. 1099s are distributed by an organization, and the portion of the 1099 that actually goes to the IRS is submitted by the organization, not the auditor. So not all tax forms are processed through auditors.
All right.
That's why we're reaching out to Voya.
Right.
Yeah, if it was related to W-2s, we'd be like, oh, yeah, we can just reach out to the payroll company and say, can you please confirm with them that you did, in fact, submit the W-2s, but it does not appear to be W-2 related. Like, we don't submit the W-2s and the information to the IRS. The payroll company does it. Just like that would be the same, you would think it would be the responsibility potentially for the administrator of the plan, but at the same time, that's something that starts at the staff level. And, you know, that's why we need to see if Voya has any confirmation that that was done.
I have a question if nobody else has one. Anybody else have a question right now?
Very fast from R. Paul.
Go ahead, R. Paul.
Voya is which thing?
It was the administrator, I believe, for the retirement plan.
FOIA?
V as in Victor.
Oh.
OYA. I believe that is correct.
And that was the company
that had the retirement plan at the time. But then it switched since then.
Okay, thank you.
And Cynthia did confirm with me a few minutes ago that somebody else had the plan in 2017 and 18. So
I'm going to ask my question real quickly while nobody else is asking anything. I know you said, Julia, that it's hard to get information from the IRS about this, but I assume if this happened in 2016, we must have gotten some notices about this. Do we have any evidence of notices and where they went?
We do have notices. I will be frank with you. I'm not sure when they started, simply because of the transition between how much work Tamara was doing with you guys and then when I started picking things up. I believe this was late fall. I know it was a part of the conversation of did we need to withhold idle funds for this. The thought was, and I agreed, you know, with Tamara at the time that this would not be something that they should take funds away. I mean, $90,000, it just seemed ridiculous for a return that was potentially so small. Of course, part of this also is that I haven't gotten to yet with that part is that in 2018, it appears that while the 1099s were distributed by the person who was working in the Pacifica office at that time, I've forgotten her name. It appears that the 1099s were distributed to the vendors, but that all of them were not reported to the IRS. So that's the second half of this. It's two things that are factoring into this. And I've been going through emails and files, and I have not been able to find any proof that the 1096s were filed with the IRS for that year. So that's the second part. But going back to trying to get information from the IRS, you can get it. It just is going to take some time. So what Stephanie and I will have to do is we will have to request the documentation. And I have so many notes on this, I've forgotten where I put it. But there's a certain term that you use when you request copies of what's been filed. And so that's going to be our next step, if we're able to get in touch with the IRS tomorrow, is to ask them what is that process to request copies of everything that was filed within a specific time frame so we can deduce from there exactly what the problem is. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And to translate your question, pending further investigation, we'll know more. I think
right.
We need to find out more.
With that is they don't just email it to you. They have to, you have to evidently submit some special request, and then they mail copies of it to the home office.
Understood. Anyone else?
Oh, and that it's request for payee returns for 2016. That's what it is, payee returns.
Got it.
What we'll be asking for.
Any other questions? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just trying to make sure that everyone had full information. As Mark can attest to today, what happened was and I was not aware that the IRS would do this, but it appears that this is what they did. They had a $93,000 amount that they wanted to take, but evidently they notified multiple banks that Pacifica has accounts with. So while the full amount came out of a national office account with Bank of America, Wells Fargo responded to their request to have the funds removed as well. So right now, all that we've been able to confirm is that the archives had funds removed from their account and KPFT had funds removed from their account. So that means that this lien was overfunded because we had already paid it. It had already been drafted out of the national office account yesterday, the full amount. But Wells Fargo, I guess, didn't know that. So they started trying to piece the amounts together out of the accounts that they hold for Pacifica's units. So they sent about $44,000 between the archives and KPFT. So what we needed to do today was and I know we don't normally want to do this, but this was a very unique situation. Plus, tomorrow is payroll funding. The archives had already written their check for payroll funding. It was deposited yesterday, but at the same time that the funds were taken out of their account, so we were concerned that that check would bounce. And then at the same time, KPFT had entered their transfer for payroll funding. Then this hit. We, again, were concerned that that was going to be declined. So what we did was we transferred part of the funds or the funds to those two so they could then turn around and not have transactions declined and fund their payroll plus not have checks and things bounced that they'd already written. So we have full documentation of that. And as we, scratch these funds back, we'll be able to replenish the national office account. Does that sound that I word that the way you would think, Mark? Is that how you felt it happened?
Well, we definitely had funds removed from our account. I had no idea that there was a double dipping by the IRS from both Bank of America and Wells Fargo, but it did happen. We were shocked. We weren't aware that this was going to happen. It caught us by surprise. And yes, Mariana, our business manager, is certainly concerned that many checks that have been written would be declined. So our balance was zero and checks were out there. So we're very happy that funds were returned so that we can make payroll, health care, and pay our bills.
Can I get some clarity on that? I heard you say, Julia, that we have to scratch back, I think you said, this money. I'm curious how long that will take, and it seems like the PRA already got some money back. Is that what I'm hearing Mark say?
Okay, well, when I say scratch it back, there are two pots of money here that we are going to try to get back. One pot is the original $93,000 that they took in trying to say, prove to them that they didn't need to penalize that much. The other is the overage that the IRS took out. And that is what, an example of that is what came out of Mark's account. Those funds should not have been taken because they had already, by Wells Fargo, because it had already been funded yesterday by Bank of America. I don't know the process for this. Wells Fargo received the same notification that Bank of America did. I verified that with Markeisha at KPFT. She was able to verify that with the person at Wells Fargo. So it was related to the same notice. I don't know why they would throw it out to all the bank, those two banks, and be overfunded. So I would think that our conversation with the IRS would mean that even if we don't talk to them, but we will anyway, that those funds would come back sooner because it's an overpayment. So they took $29,000 out of the archives account well, that should not have been removed based upon the notice that we received, again, after we received it, after the funds had been taken out of the operating account. We didn't expect this to happen. And we're not notified ahead of time. But does that make sense? The $29,000, for example, at the archives, that's money that they shouldn't have because it had already been taken out of the Bank of America account. So we would think that we would get his funds back sooner, but he didn't have time to wait for us to fight to get those funds back, even if it's the next couple of days. He needed those funds today because he had gone into a negative. He was actually in a negative balance at the bank, because I spoke with Mariana a few times today. So I had to make sure that she contacted Wells Fargo and told them, hey, we've processed a wire to fund that account. Do not bounce those checks.
Okay, I do understand what you're saying, and it does make sense. I just thought I heard Mark say he got some money back. Now I realize it was a transfer from elsewhere in Pacifica that he got back, not money back to the IRS. And I was, of course, concerned with the timeline of how long it will take to get this back, because now, you know, this causes another cash flow crunch for us. And, you know,
right. Our feeling was that, one, and probably especially more so for for KPFT, the amount that was taken for them, over half of it was payroll related. So even for both units, payroll funds were at risk in this, and we knew that we had to get those to clear. So either way, even if those had bounced, we would have had to have funded it through national office funds anyway. So we felt it was best to replenish what they had so they didn't bounce checks and, you know, kept their account clean.
I want to say that we are now at time for this item, actually a little over time. But I want to make sure that everybody has had a chance to ask any questions that they want. So if anybody has further questions, or if Julia or Stephanie want to say anything further, let's have someone ask for an extension. If no one has one, we can go on to
other stack.
I'm sorry, who was that?
McFadden to the stack.
Okay, James, can you perhaps make a motion to extend for maybe 5 more minutes?
Motion to extend for 2 minutes. This is going to be real fast.
Why don't you make it 5, just in case anybody has anything else to say, and if you don't need the time, we won't take it.
Okay, motion to extend for 5 minutes.
Any objection? Hearing none, we'll go ahead. Thank you, James.
I was just going to ask, the discussion here, it was really hard to find. I was trying to take notes and try to follow exactly what, and it sounds like maybe it's not even still clear what's going on. And I was just hoping that we could get a report back, a written report, you know, in the next 2 weeks, summarizing,
yes,
you know, what's going on and the status. That's all.
Sure. Thank you.
Anyone else that has a question on this or any other topics that were covered earlier by Stephanie? Hearing none, I have a question. Stephanie, it relates to the, and I understand that they are things you need to study in case we find ourselves faced with one of these issues, you know, bankruptcy, signal swaps, et cetera. I heard you mention the revenue side a little bit. I know that I've been hoping to, you know, do some popular program sharing around the network, start a campaign to contact some of our lapsed donors or our major donors and see if we can raise some money. I realize that these things are happening faster and before you can possibly, you know, perhaps get to some of these things, but is there anything on the horizon on the revenue side that we could hope for?
The reaching out of lapsed donors and pledges that haven't been fulfilled really has a lot to do, and I've talked to the stations about this, about the record keeping that they have and whether we can pull clean lists from whatever donor database that they happen to be using. Some of them using Allegiant, some of them aren't. A lot of the information regarding donors is not up to date. So as stewardship is extremely important, obviously, with our donors, and a lot of that has not been taking place, as well as not dropping the ball when there are monthly donors that haven't been paying their monthly services. There are some stations where premiums haven't been sent out, and it's, you know, been a couple of years. So we're trying to pull what donors got their premiums, what donors didn't, how many refunds have been made, how many refunds have been requested, but maybe they haven't been put out. So all of that is vitally necessary to raise funds and increase the revenue, but there's a lot of steps that we need to take in order to get there. A lot of the low-hanging fruit, yes. We'll definitely are reaching out to. I've written a lot of just handwritten thank you notes as well myself to people that have donated over the last year and haven't been, you know, no one has contacted them. So I'm reaching out on that behalf as well. We are working, and thanks to Linda again at WBAI for sort of creating a nice list of shows that can easily be shared, and the archives for setting me up to be able to take a look and listen to a lot of these programs. And now it's just a matter of making sure that the GMs are open to removing some of their shows that are some of the programs that aren't generating revenue and putting these other ones in their place. So we are working on trying to get accurate lists of the programs as to what the listenership is, what does it cost to run that program, and what is the revenue that is being brought in by that program.
Thank you. Anyone else? Hearing none, I guess we'll go on to our next item. And Mark, that would be you. For the review of the fiscal year 22 Pacifica Radio Archives draft budget. We scheduled 45 minutes for this, Mark, and so take as much time as you want. Mark is going to give us a narrative, and then he and Julia will walk us through the details.
Okay. Thank you all. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Mark Torres. I've been working at the Pacifica Radio Archives since 1990, which is 32 years, and I started out as a senior producer, producing original programs using archival materials, and in 2015, I became the director of the Pacifica Radio Archives, and I've seen Pacifica go through many changes. I think it's really great to have a person that's been present for a long time at the archives, because the archives represents the institutional history of Pacifica, and a lot of new people that come on as, you know, various members of Pacifica at the radio stations who are new don't have that institutional memory, and there's power and there is a sense of value for people who understand the value of our history. And, you know, that brings me to what we do at the Pacifica Radio Archives, which is not only care for the institutional history of Pacifica, but we make our station's airwaves even better when we are able to present the stations with programs that, what's going on in our times. Like, for example, when Stacey Abrams registers 750,000 voters, it's great that the Pacifica Radio Archives has Fannie Lou Hamer doing that in the early 1960s and almost losing her life doing that. It showcases how Pacifica had a microphone in the community in places that were absolutely necessary. And that value is huge. Because NPR and PBS and the other community radio stations didn't start until the Public Radio Act of 1967 started bringing funds to community radio stations, and that's when NPR started and PBS were funded. So Pacifica has 20 years of history before that, at a critical time in history, when during the Civil Rights Movement and so many other great movements. So the Pacifica Radio Archives is funded. When I first started, was our operating expenses were funded entirely by central services from the stations, and that amounted to about 4% of a station's budget. And those payments were never missed by any stations until the early 2000s. So for the first 11 or 12 years that I worked there, we never had to worry about a payroll because Central Services was paid and the stations were happy to pay it because we offered a lot of great services to the stations. Since then, times have changed. Now the percentage lowered from 5 and 4%, and now it's less than 1%. And now stations are still having problems paying that amount. I think it's important that we keep the even less than 1% amount of central services present, because the stations need to, contribute to the preserving of the institutional history of each of their stations and all of our stations. So the good news is that when I first started working, we had as many as 10 people, and now we're down to 4. The 4 people that we have are essential workers for the archives. We all have our special area of expertise and at least 20 years of experience, and that allows us to be one of the most effective fundraising units that initially was never meant to be a fundraising unit. The first 12 years that I worked, we were not allowed to be on the air. The stations didn't want to do it. And when we had, when we had a changeover in administrations in the early 2000s with a whole new set of bylaws, the then executive director said, "We don't have any money. We're broke. We had $5 million in the bank, and now we're we owe $5 million. So what can you do to help us?" And I suggested that we go on the air and start fundraising. And it was supposed to be a temporary thing. And now 20 years later, we're still doing a yearly fund drive. And unfortunately, because of our current financial crisis, we had to do a second fund drive in late April that just brought in $40,000. We're still very effective, and we only use one gift. I've been hearing various people talk about fundraising problems and gifts, not being able to ship things out. The archives has a one-year fundraiser in November, and we deliver them by the holidays, guaranteed, and we do it every time. So we have a great reputation, and we're very efficient at it. We have our phones in the archives. We don't pay for a phone service. I think we did that once, and it cost us more than it benefited us in both money and everything else. So we're a very effective unit, and one of the things that I've been developing is additional revenue streams, since our revenue from central services, it used to be steady, KPFA, KPFK, and KPFT, and now it is KPFA and WPFW, quarter paying on time, and 3 stations. And for the first time in my 30 years, KPFK has not been able to pay their share of central services to us. So that has put our budget at a huge deficit, and I've had to think of other revenue stream possibilities, and one of them has been licensing. We had a policy where we were handing out licenses for a few $100s a piece, just happy to be in something and to get credit. And I took a trip over to WGBH in Boston in 2017 for the 50-year anniversary of the Public Radio Act, and I made a presentation about the archives because the Library of Congress invited me, and they consider the Pacifica Radio Archives the most important public radio collection in America, if not the world, because of how old we are and the vast number of our recordings, which is over 70,000 recordings. I played them one clip. I played them a clip of our 1956 Rosa Parks interview, the first interview she gave after she got out of jail for her bus boycott action. And that audio is in the Ford Museum in Michigan. And there's a famous picture of President Obama sitting on the actual bus. The Ford Museum found the serial number of the bus she was riding. They found the bus and they restored it to its original luster. And they have Pacifica Radio's Rosa Parks interview looping on the bus. And so that's how significant our recordings are. That's just one. We have 70,000. So there's great value in our archives. And I'm addressing the Finance Committee today to not just present our 2022 draft, but I would also like to implore the Finance Committee to consider the Pacifica Radio Archives a priority when considering what to do with national funds. I know that there was a loan that was granted of $1.5 million, and you know, I don't think that the Pacifica Radio Archives was considered for any of that money, but here we are for the first time since I've been director in 2015, where our payroll is in jeopardy, and that puts a lot of our other programs in jeopardy. So I would like for the Finance Committee to think of the Pacifica Radio Archives as important as having the electricity streaming inside a station to make our signal blast in our various cities. But getting back to our 2022 proposed budget, I would like to say that we haven't changed any numbers at all for the last several years. We've kept them all the same. We've not had any payroll increases in the 6+ years that I've been the director. But we have done some significant fundraising for Pacifica. I have invoices on my desk. I had one of our employees, Sean Dellis, who is our front desk office administrator, who takes in all of our calls and processes all of our revenue each month, to print me out every single invoice that related to monies that were generated for the Pacifica stations using Pacifica materials. And that total number was $4.2 million since 2015 and $3.5 million off of one thank you gift, our Voices That Changed the World 64 gigabyte USB drive. And when we think, I mean, we hold great pride in the fact that we raise that much money for the Pacifica stations. But as the director, when I think about the stations who are not paying us central services, I would much rather do fundraising where the archives gets the $4.2 million and our budget is not in jeopardy of not being able to pay our payroll. So there is a disconnect in the amount that we contribute to Pacifica and the amount that, you know, is given back to us by board mandated central services money. And, you know, I just wanted to make the Finance Committee aware of that disconnect as I'm presenting the budget today. I would also like to say that in addition to all of our numbers remaining the same for the last several years, We have generated $35,000 in licensing since I came on board. I took a trip to WGBH I was an invited guest for databases, but I took the time to meet with the licensing department at WGBH, which is the cornerstone of PBS production in Boston. And they were happy to share with me what their rates were, and it was much higher than what we were doing. Instead of asking for a few hundred dollars, we were now able to ask for a few thousand dollars per item. And, you know, that initially turned one person off from a license deal. They were hoping they could get the same deal they got with the previous director of the archives. And I had to draw a line and say no. So we lost that one. And then we started gaining, you know, dozens of others that were perfectly happy to pay the new rate that I came up with. And so since I came on board, and that was 2017 when I took that trip. So in the last several years, we've raised $35,000 on licensing, and that's something that we can increase. Another thing I will say about our budget is that that we have the potential to raise enough revenue to support the archives without any central services. If we can move forward with a online streaming website, which I have the framework for, I have a website called Pacifica Digital, and we have the face page already made out, and I was in the process of getting this built out as a streaming site when the webmaster, who is a science engineer working for Jet Propulsion Laboratory on the Mars project, got heavy into the Mars project and he had to decline. But I've gotten estimates for this development from various developers, upwards of $100,000, and without any guarantees that it would work. This person was ready to do it for $3,000, and he had already done one for a different person. And, you know, while he was starting to develop that website, I reached out to the LA Unified School District, and the Pacifica Radio Archives is now an official vendor of the LA Unified School District, and they are ready to pay thousands of dollars per 1,000 students, and they have over 100,000 students in LA Unified School District. If I can get this website built out, we won't be having this conversation. I'll be having conversations like, hey, I have extra money in my budget. Who else needs it? So the potential for monetizing the archives is great. I've had some great ideas, but I haven't had the financial support to move forward on some of these ideas. So I'm hoping that the Finance Committee can help me find ways to make this budget work so I'm not spending my time trying to find ways to make payroll. And instead of doing this work of developing a website, I'm holding a second or third or fourth fund drive because there's huge gaps in our budget. And to address gaps in our budget, we've actually balanced our budget. May be one of the only units that have balanced our budget every year since I've been the director. And this year is compromised, particularly because KPFK stopped paying their central services at the beginning of this fiscal year. So if we can help fill those gaps, aside from being on air, being on air, yes, we're good at it. Yes, we can raise a lot of money in less than a day. But what is the effects of that? Is it driving listeners away? Listeners have to deal with fund drives every month from our stations already. They don't need another fund drive. Even though we're good at it and we're efficient and we get our gifts out, and everybody loves it. but the fact remains is I'm here to, you know, discuss the actual numbers of the RCAC's budget. Again, we're a very compact four-person staff. We do the work of dozens. Because of our experience and our level of expertise, we can do the work of many people. And, you know, I'm really proud of our little staff that does so much, not only to raise money for ourselves, but for the foundation and the entire network of stations. So